In the name of Jesus, our suffering servant, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The service tonight is not a funeral, but rather it is an acknowledgement that death is all around us. Right now in a small Minnesota town, there is much bewilderment and grief. Why? What causes a young man to threaten and kill his friends? What happens inside a person when this takes place? Somewhere in the back of our minds, we wonder, what if this happened here? Our soldiers are coming back from Iraq. We are proud and thankful for them. But they have had a real education. They went over as sons and daughters, raised in the comfort of our neighborhoods, schools, and churches. They come back changed, knowing what human tragedy looks like firsthand: hatred, poverty, and death. And down in Florida, a woman lies in a hospital bed. Once she was precious to her husband. Someone had to order that feeding tube to be put inside her in the first place. But today, for the last 6 days, she has been denied the simple elements of food and water to which every human being should have a right. And our government can't decide whether she needs protection or not. So she slowly dies. Death is all around us. Death is the enemy that steals up and surrounds us. Everything else in life you can see and you can fight, you can do something about. But death is too much for us. Sooner or later, it comes to every one of us. In my work as a pastor, I've seen death come very suddenly to people, healthy people, without any warning. And I've stood by the bedside of people who languished for months. Sooner or later, death visits everyone. On Good Friday, I see Christ on his cross, ever closer to death as the minutes pass. And finally, he succumbs to it. But unlike us, he never has to die. He is God. He is the supreme being, insusceptible to death. And yet he dies, and dies like a criminal. People complain about Mel Gibson's movie. They said it was too violent. They haven't read the Bible. I remember coming out of the theater last spring. Nobody was talking. They weren't even looking at each other. There in the seats, there was weeping ahead of me in the seat ahead. It was emotional overload. Why? Because it shouldn't have been. They recognize that death comes to us, but the theater goers recognized it shouldn't come to Jesus. God has always said that without blood, there is no forgiveness. That's why there were all those sacrifices in the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament times. But animal blood isn't enough for human sin. So what would we sacrifice for our sin? What thing do we have that God needs? Nothing. We don't have a holy life to trade. It's as if God searched the whole world for a sacrifice worthy enough to redeem the human race. And only one thing was found: Jesus, the Son of God. The Father was willing to give his only Son, and the Son was willing to pay that price for us. But I ask you tonight, who would you be willing to die for? Mothers, would you die for your children so that they might have a few more years to live? Fathers, would you give your life for for your sons? I like to think that if there was no other way, that I'd be willing to lay down my life for my wife and daughter. But no one knows until the time comes. There were many pastors who died for the faith in times of persecution. They chose death rather than forsaking Jesus. They were an example to their flocks of what true faith is. Sometimes I ask myself, would I have the strength to die for you, my people? Persecution comes today in places like Sudan on the African continent. You don't hear much about it because they usually call it some kind of ethnic cleansing or conflict. But for a decade, people have been killed in exile because they would not forsake Jesus and bow down to Allah. If you were in such a situation, would you stand up for Jesus or fade away in a crowd so that you could live for a few more years? Would you die for Christ? Our conflict is not like that which Jesus faced. We have earned death, whether it comes to us now or later. But we are sinful, but Jesus, he has no sin. We know who Jesus is and what he has done for us. He is our friend. He is our Savior. He is our God. But what are we to Jesus? We weren't even born yet for 2,000 years when he died. The Bible says that we were born enemies of sin. They're enemies of God through our sin when we were born. We were strangers and hostile to him, yet he died for us. That is what the grace of God really means. Yes, Jesus dies for us, and this is the heart of our faith. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. God shows his love for us in this one act. When he died, the curse was ended. No longer do we have to die. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our debt is paid. And now when our eyes close in death, it's only a transition to a never-ending peace in the kingdom of God. Jesus promised this. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. Now, for the rest of our lives, we have the opportunity to witness to what the death of Christ gives us. We use words like forgiveness, like peace, like grace. Yet these are only symbols of the difference that the death of Christ makes for us. Death is all around us, but Christian, have no fear. Jesus dies for us. Amen.